receive the same life-sustaining help as a premature infant. That's really what we passed. The earlier bill was much, much lengthier, and this is one of the amendments, but the Medical Association were the ones who were passed. So it really says that a child born alive during an abortion procedure would receive the same medical help as an infant born premature. The original bill required that there be two attending physicians be on hand, and this does not require that.
The number of the volume of bills that have been passed out of the House and Senate and that each body will be considering now is still fairly substantial, and there is yet to come the complete consensus on the budget and what, redistricting?
Yes.
Is there going to be enough time to get all of these things handled?
Well, there's possibly going to be some items that don't get passed. There's always certain people's wishes that don't make it. There were bills left on the calendar yesterday that I know a number of our people were, just wishing, they wanted to have their bill considered next, and we did it. I felt a very good job of prioritizing. There's sometimes some of our members do not realize that an issue that they have a special interest in has already been passed by the other chamber. For example, the House did not do anything on the Juvenile Justice Act. There is a companion bill that's over from the Senate, so we've got 2 weeks at least now to work on Senate bills and take care of some of those things that the House has not looked at this time.
What about redistricting? Is that being talked about that much yet?
Yes. We've been waiting for data that could be used with the data processing equipment. The professional staff person for our districting committee is in California right now at the Rose Institute getting some last-minute schooling on the use of the data, and he's expected back this next week. I talked to Bob Eberle, who's probably the most popular legislator in Olympia since he's chairman of the House Redistricting Committee, just a few minutes yesterday. Bob was sweating trying to get his bill out, and so we talked a little bit about this, and he feels that it's still very, very doable. He feels that within another 2 weeks he'll have a bill in hard copy for us to start addressing.
Okay, I might ask both of you this question and see if I can't get some sort of response. I noticed in the morning news that Frank Brulette, State Superintendent of Schools, said that suggested cuts in aid for education mean schools are targeted for massive reduction in quality. That was his comment concerning the budget passed out of the Senate yesterday. Do you have either one of you or both, hopefully, some comments along that line? What is going to happen to education in light of the budget that was passed?
Well, the bill didn't pass out of the Senate. It was just introduced. It was unveiled yesterday. And the Senate is going, we talked to George Sellers again this morning. The Senate is in recess today, just like the House is, for members to take a look at the Senate proposed budget. The Senate is going to go to a committee with their proposal tomorrow, and hopefully after the committee meets, they will then have it on the Senate floor, and they're planning to work this weekend on the entire package. We do have just some brief highlights in front of us.
In considering this budget during some committee meetings or caucus meetings we had, the education budget we're considering it on three columns. One was the proposed Ray budget, Governor Ray's budget. The other was Spellman's budget, and the other was Brulé's budget. And Brulé's budget is just amazingly larger than either budget that Governor Ray or Governor Spellman has proposed. So I'm not so sure that Brulé's budget is an accurate portrayal of what education really needs. I think that putting quite a bit of fat in that one.
I sit on the floor next to Dan McDonald from Bellevue, who is our House Appropriations Education Chairman. And Dan, of course, is the one that we're depending on for a lot of good leadership in the area of funding both higher education and the common schools, K through 12. Dan mentioned to me yesterday that the Senate did pretty well balance their budget by making some sizable reductions in the K through 12 appropriation. He's concerned about reductions in the maintenance and operation. He's concerned also, he said, I should be concerned about a $6 million cut in the small school enrichment factor and also some additional reduction in vocational education. He thinks that all the overall the overall budget, you know, throwing in general government portions, salaries, the human services part, that there's the dollar level between the Senate and the House is not that much difference. It's just where you're going to prioritize. And he said, you know, there's probably $125 million that should be, that we're going to want to shift around and put in different places, probably.
What is the status in that budget that the Senate was unveiled, as you say, in the Senate yesterday, concerning the prison issue? What is addressed in the overriding issue of the quality of the state's penal system?
Well, there's I don't have those figures in front of me, Steve, but there's an emphasis being placed on funding prisons and mental institutions too. As far as that's concerned, there was the House passed out a real good bill on overhauling the Mental Health Act in the state of Washington, and there is going to be quite a bit of money spent back on penitentiaries and mental health agencies. So they're really working on that one, and they realize that we have a problem in the state, and they're really attempting to address it.
This proposed budget has no general tax increase, but there are a number of increases in user fees and then some other taxes. Could either one of you or both kind of detail some of those proposed increases, where they might be?
Well, the major ones that the Senate is highlighting is a 6 cent a pack increase in the cigarette tax, going from 16 cents to 23 cents, which would yield an additional $47 million. They would like to defer implementation of nursing home reimbursement system that the legislature passed a year ago, and if they can do that, they can save $20 million. There's still a bill pending in both the House and Senate that would raise the current delinquent property tax interest rate that's currently 8%. The Senate wants to allow that to equal the Federal Reserve discount rate of not, but have it, which and leave it in a range of not less than 12% nor more than 20%. And they feel this would cause property owners to pay their taxes in a timely fashion. If they don't, it's going to raise about $18 million. Then the other revenue balancer is to do away with the sales tax deferral program on Economic Assistance Authority, and this would raise $48 million. There's also, they are projecting a tuition increase for higher education along the lines that students would pay one-third of the cost. This is and that's a higher level than what the House has been working on. The House's position has been 25% of cost. So, you know, there's still a lot of juggling and, you know, a lot of issues that have not been, you know, fully decided. There's a lot that has not been fully decided.
What kind of concerns and what was the general tenor of the discussion with the business community in Wenatchee today when you met at the chamber? What kinds of concerns were they presenting?
Well, surprisingly enough, you would believe that the business community would be pretty concerned about the usury question, but they didn't seem to be too concerned about that one. And I don't think that they expressed any specific concerns. I think that they like the fact that we're trying to balance the budget without increasing taxes. And in general, they like the approach of this legislature to the problems, that if we can ever get the budget balanced without an increase in taxes, maybe we can hold the line. And we have to, sometime or another, we just simply have to balance budgets in state and federal government and cut down the big governmental bureaus as much as possible and come to a halt in government spending, because I'm convinced that that's largely the cause of inflation. And inflation is a problem in this country more than any other thing. We just simply have to stop inflation. It's ruining us economically.
Earl, were there any other comments that you might have on what you were hearing from the chamber today?
I would like to echo what Dick has said. We went over the priorities that the House Republicans had even before the session started. We discussed such as the three-way workman's comp, and we talked about uninsured motorist coverage, and we talked about the Budget and Accounting Act as it relates to K-12 education. And we really did, went over the whole, I felt, almost the whole gamut of issues that these people were interested in before the session. So all of our priorities from the Republican caucus have been passed either by the House or by the Senate, and are now in the position that the other House, it's time for them to hold their hearings and to fine-tune those proposals. But I would say that the attitude of these people of the Wenatchee Chamber Government Affairs Committee was pretty much supportive. The only one who differed is a man who is a distributor of cigarettes in this area, and he objects to a 6-cent a pack increase there. He feels that there should be other elements of the business community or the community at large that should be helping in on the revenue side rather than just that single industry.
Could you refresh our memory on the workman's compensation situation, where that stands?
Well, that's, of course, we passed that out of the House, and it's in the Senate, and it's in committee now. In fact, Senator Sellers is conducting hearings on it this morning. So really that one's a little bit in limbo. We can't give you an update on it because we don't know what the situation is yet.
I understand there is a substitute version that they're taking up. Our original bill had changed the compensation of an injured workman to a concept called wage loss, which the state of Florida has had for several years. I had felt that this was an improvement in our system, in that it would be more compensation for injured workmen, plus it had the incentive for a person to become rehabilitated and get back to work earlier. The Senate, there's a lot of opposition for organized labor on that particular aspect, and so the Senate has come out with a substitute really that plugs in the existing method of compensating. That's not a big hang-up as far as I'm concerned. Still in the bill is the option, would be the option for an employer to choose whether they want to buy that coverage for their employee from a private company or from the state system or from a group association. And to me, that's the important part. The rest of it is important, but either the present system or the wage law system is fine with me.
The majority of your mail and communications to Olympia from people here in the district is still concerning, the abortion issue, budget, those kinds of things. Or has there been a shift in emphasis and issues?
No, I don't think there has. The main thrust of correspondence that I received this year was on the abortion issue. Now, of course, we got correspondence on House Bill 31, the three-way compensation bill. There was quite a bit of that at the time it was in the House. But I think that the steady correspondence has to do with abortion. Apparently, this is a moral issue that affects a lot of people, and they certainly have generated a lot of correspondence on it.
A little bit earlier, we kind of were chuckling when we mentioned that the House passed the pornography issue. Well, let's kind of get back to that for a minute. It was over a year ago now, I guess, that the voters passed an initiative concerning the display of magazines and that kind of business. And that whole thing was declared unconstitutional by a U.S. court judge. Now, what is happening to get around that? What is the proposal that cleared the House, and how does it get around that constitutional question?
Well, I should be able to give you that by the numbers, and I'm sorry I can't, even though it went through our committee. There was some sections that the court ruled, were not clear, were vague as to what constitutes lewd display. And that part has been changed, but there weren't that many. Basically the same, almost identical to what the initiative, other than the part that the court ruled on before as being unconstitutional.
The news articles that we read this morning kind of characterized this past week in Olympia as being, they said things like marathon session, tremendous workload, those kinds of things. This one's kind of aimed at you, Dick, as being a freshman there. Are you surprised at the pace and the tenor of the whole thing?
Yes, I am, in fact, Steve. I don't know whether other legislative sessions have worked as hard as this one is doing, but... Yeah, it's a real surprise. A typical work day down there, you're down, have your breakfast over about 7 o'clock, at least I do, and see if I can get some correspondence out between 7 and 8, and then you start in with committee hearings at 8 o'clock almost every day up until now, and some evenings you don't get out of there until 8, sometimes 10 o'clock, and that constitutes a pretty long day. The other night, we worked until 2 a.m., steady, on the floor. So, yeah, it's surprising, the tremendous volume of work to this job. I would never have believed that there was this much real hard work connected to it.
Is there anything else that perhaps we haven't touched on this morning that we should?
Well, I think that we've covered a lot of ground, and we would, as people should realize that there's now that bills that the House has passed, such as the House Bill 279 on this, allowing school directors to be elected at large. All those bills that Dick and I have sponsored that are in the Senate are now hopefully going to get the attention of those committees. They'll get out of committees and on the Senate floor. But the cutoff, I believe, is something like 2 weeks from now before those things must all pass. Within 2 weeks, unless they have an appropriation or revenue impact. So that doesn't give us much time to get that job done, and we'll be working on it very, very hard for those next 14 days.
That bill about the school directors is known as the Manson bill.
Yes.
In the House. Earl engineered that one and got it out to serve the needs of Manson because of some problems they had there. I got a bill through this week, House Bill 641, that provides for the conveyance of maps and plats to the county auditor's office from the Department of Natural Resources. They're the depository of this material from the federal government. And all of the old surveys and notes, plats, are all will be reduced to microfiche and made available at the county auditor's office. So we're hopeful that some of the boundary disputes and that type of thing that have been going on, we'll have at least some records that are available to the people here without having to go to Olympia.
Earl, I think it was you that indicated that during this this time off, if you will, the next couple, 3 days that you'll be here, that you're going to be trying to talk to as many people as possible. Do you people have formal meetings lined up, or are you just available on an on-call basis? Are you planning to get out and walk the streets? What is it that you're planning to do this weekend to try to, stay in touch?
Well, at noon, Dick is speaking to the Leavenworth Rotary Club, and I'm speaking to the Exchange Club here. This afternoon, we're going to be doing some personal work. Tomorrow morning, I'm speaking with a group of ministers from North Central Washington at the Presbyterian Church to talk about the reductions in the human services part of the budget. I've written all the ministers in our area, immediate area, I didn't get all throughout the district, telling them that the government is not going to be providing like it has, and I feel that the church can play a very important role in assisting families who have problems. Tomorrow afternoon, I'm meeting with a group of people who are daycare providers who have daycare centers in their home. So it's quite a variety. And then, yes, if people need to get a hold of me, they can certainly call my home and we'll arrange a time to get together.
How about you, Dick? It sounds like you, too, have a busy weekend ahead.
Well, I've got a busy weekend, but my busy weekend will be because my son is being married, and so I'm not available on Saturday.
Okay, is there any other items that perhaps we have not touched on in this rather quick-paced half hour that we should be?
No, I think we've gone all around the bases, and we'll be looking forward to talking to you the next Friday morning.
Okay, very good. Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye.
Bye now. 28 minutes past the hour from Radio Lakes Land. Make that 29 minutes past the hour, and that was a morning conversation from Wenatchee this time.